Well, first of all, let's ask God to come. Father, tonight, once again, this is your time, and we are your people, Lord. We're not here for us. It's not based on our opinions, what we like or dislike. It's the fact that we're committed to you. So we want to act and react in the way that you would act. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us tonight. We ask you to come and bring our Father's will into this house, and that there would be peace in Jesus' name for the kingdom's sake and for your honor and glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
I have a prayer request. Before we leave tonight, I wish we would gather, all of us gather around Janelle, lay hands on her, and either pray standing up or kneel, whatever, pray for her healing, the healing of her kidneys.
Amen. Well, that's God's plan.
Amen.
I'm in agreement with that. I know it's not God's plan for that to be on her any more than diabetes or blindness or anything else. That's not God's plan. So, praise the Lord. Anybody got anything they want to give God praise about tonight? I'm glad to see Fran and Bob back. Praise him.
Yeah, I do.
We missed you Sunday, guys.
Yep. Well, you don't know how much I would have much rather have been here.
Oh, yes, I do. Go ahead, Harry.
I was going to say that today started off weird. It kept on getting more weird. Tonight, it was a little strange, but we got through it.
Amen. Amen.
But it finally, God's what happened, but it finally clicked.
Praise the Lord.
So the last part of the rehearsal that we did, it finally clicked.
Way better than all of the last 5 minutes was way better than the previous 50 minutes had gone. Right?
The previous hour.
Yes.
I might make a suggestion. Yes, ma'am.
Many of you probably know that the Lord has blessed me with a wonderful place to stay. I have been released from the joint.
Praise the Lord.
I couldn't have asked for a better, more blessed place, and I'm just extremely thankful for that.
Now, Janelle, if I understand what you're saying, now correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying that God has thoughts that are good for you and they're coming to pass.
Yeah. Wow. What concept?
Yep, it's like that.
We'll accept that. I'll take that as a yes.
Was that the joint or the joint?
The joint.
The joint.
Praise the Lord.
You're going to have your own phone number now?
Okay. It was like the 24th, I think it was, of April that I went to a writer's retreat for Friday and Saturday. And it was just like being in church for those 2 days. It was awesome. We had praise and worship about 4 times every day, and it was really good. And part of the retreat was about finding out if God was really calling you to be a writer or whatever else he might be calling you to do, and then what are you going to do with that. And so God dealt with me on some things there. He showed me some wonderful pictures. He showed me some scary pictures, and I'm going to say scary, not like, you know, demons and that kind of thing, but it's like, what do I do with that, God? How do I see that working in? Or I don't want that, you know. Sometimes he shows me stuff and I just like, well, Fran knows what I mean. We argue. I argue with God a lot. When he tells me something, I'll say, no, you couldn't have meant that for me. You must have meant that for somebody else, you know. And so I've been working through that. And I'll tell you, one of the things that God impressed on me was that he's got a lot planned for me this year. And I'm not using my time wisely. And so one thing I've done since the 24th of April, the 26th, whenever I came home, was I've been, if you want to call it fasting, but I've been fasting from television. Now, you know, I used to spend pretty much every evening when I wasn't in church in front of the TV, because Patrick was always downstairs working, and I didn't want to work all the time. But God reminded me of all of the projects I have worked on in the past, and then I stopped because I ran out of time or I ran out of interest or whatever. And so one thing he impressed on me was, I've got a lot of work to do this year, and I need to get to work and do it and not be fooling around. And I'm not trying to say that watching TV is a waste of time, but, you know, if there's something else you're supposed to be doing, then that's what you should be doing. And, you know, a praise report that came out of that was, I had started writing a book in September. And in January, God told me I needed to have it ready in 90 days. And I fiddled around and fiddled around with it, and I didn't get it done. And so I only had it half written by the time we went to the retreat, so it was already 3 weeks overdue. And I came home, and I didn't watch TV, and I still haven't been watching TV, but I didn't watch TV, and in 10 days I had the last half of the book written. What took me over 6 months to get to that point, I've got the last half written, which is a praise report. In the process of dealing with me, though, and you probably haven't noticed anything, but I have been almost impossible to live with. I don't want to live with me, as God has been dealing with me on all these things. And at first I grumbled and griped about giving up TV because, you know, I really enjoy watching TV, right? And it's mind-numbing and it's restful, and for me anyway. And so I wasn't fit to live with, and I'm probably still not fit to live with. But the other part of that is that, you know, we went a couple of weeks ago to that Ezra Foundation meeting with Henry Blackaby. And one of the things he was trying to encourage people to do was sit down and read their Bible every day. And you know something? I didn't. Patrick read it in the morning maybe. You know, we'd get into a few verses during devotional time. But I never actually sat down. And not to say I have never, but during these last couple of years, I haven't actually sat down and read for myself the Bible, other than what's read here in church on Sundays and Wednesdays and what he reads on in the morning, you know, when we have devotions. That's about it. So I committed to sitting down every day and reading something. And I got to tell you, I mean, I have read, I started in Genesis, because they suggest you read it chronologically. So I've got to, you know, so the first part, of course, is going to be Genesis, some part of it anyway. And God has just been speaking to me, and I have seen stuff in, and I'm only up to Genesis, I've read the end of Genesis 9, I finished today. God has shown me stuff in that was for me now. You know, this is a great story, this whole thing about the creation and the fall and the generations and Noah. I mean, that's where I'm up to right now. It's kind of the end of the chapter about Noah, where they've gotten off the ark, and the whole episode with, you know, the younger son and then the older sons covered their father in that. That's where I ended today. But God is showing me some things in that that's for me for now. And it's not just a history story, and it's not just about those people who obviously weren't listening to God or they wouldn't have done those things. It's for me for now. And, you know, I want to thank God that he's showing me these things as I'm going through this. And how long I'm able to keep this up, who knows. But, you know, if there's only the one or two things God has to show me, he showed me this awesome thing today in Genesis 9. It was the end of chapter 8 in the first part of 9. Noah has spent over a year on this boat with all these animals. Now, you know, we often think about the, you know, we see pictures of Noah and the ark, and we see him standing two by two on the deck, and that's not the way it was at all. He wasn't on a deck, because it wasn't a deck. He was inside with these animals. Some of the animals he was in there with two by two. But the clean animals, the sacrificial animals, he had seven. Now, I suspect he had seven pairs, not just seven of each clean one, but probably seven pairs. 14. Okay? So let's just imagine that it's only cows, and he's got 14 cows. The first thing he does, he gets off that ark after being on there for over a year, and he takes at least one of his cows. It just says he took some of every, doesn't say how many of every. He took one and he sacrificed it. And I think the least he sacrificed was one in 14. If I only had 14 of something, would I want to, like, give it up after spending a year? And this is the only thing that's living on this earth is what I got in my boat with me? I don't think so. And yet that's what Noah did. And God said it was a sweet fragrance to him, that sacrifice. And then he turned around and said, okay, now before you only got to eat grass and apples and fruit and vegetables, and now you can eat anything. Any of these animals that are clean, you can eat. And I thought, Noah gave some, and then God gave it all back to him. Now, is that a good picture of the blessings of God or not, right? Noah gave some, one out of 14. Maybe he gave two out of 14 of each animal. And then God gave it all back to him and said, okay, now it's all yours. Enjoy. But Noah didn't, because, you know, God knew that Noah was not just going to take them all, throw a big party and barbecue them all. Right? He trusted Noah. And so I just saw that this morning and it was like, man, if I could joyfully give one out of 14, the way that Noah did, how much would God give back? And if we could all do that, how much would God give us back? Right?
Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
On Sunday morning, I had the privilege of being in a church called Grace Place.
Grace Place.
There was a gentleman who was speaking named David Ring. I don't know if anybody knows who he is. He has cerebral palsy.
Yes, I do know who he is.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I do know who he is.
And
an amazing man.
He really was. I have some videos and some tapes I will gladly share
praise
if anybody
the Lord
wants to share. But one of the things that he said before he ended was, God used me. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you're not doing something for God, I want you to come down here and commit yourself to doing something
Amen.
For God.
Amen.
And I just thought that was so fantastic because Amen. We were in a high school auditorium that had the level floor and a balcony, and all the level floor was full. And about 3/4 of the people went down front to commit to doing something for God.
Praise the Lord.
So I was really thrilled at seeing that.
Amen. Amen. David Ring first came on the scene, I can't tell you how many years ago now, an amazing story. He's got beautiful kids, a beautiful wife, he's a minister of God, and he first came on the scene through Jerry Falwell. Imagine that. And yet he's not stuck in the religious rut that Jerry Falwell was. I'm not speaking against Jerry, I'm just saying that this man knows and loves the Lord. And I want to tell you something, what's amazing about this is the fact that he's not stuck fussing about what he doesn't have or what his problems are. He is committed to serve the Lord, and he gives God thanks for where he's at and what God's doing through him. That's his focus. I remember my dad used to say one time, you know, when we were young, he used to talk about this little poem. He said, I once felt sorry for myself because I had no shoes, and then I met a man who had no feet. You know, your Bible says to be content with whatever state you're in. It's not the final state. It's temporary. And, of course, it's easy. It's easy when something, especially when you've got some kind of a disability or something like that, to feel sorry for yourself. I think if anybody really has a right to feel sorry for themselves, that person does. But it's wrong. You don't really have a right, but if anybody would justify it, that would be a person who's justified. But you really still don't. The Bible says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And me. Amen. In everything. I don't care what it is. What happens, we start looking and internalizing things, and we start getting down in the mully grubs, and we start letting our emotions get carried away. Oh, woe is me. And you can't give God praise when you're doing that. And it's not possible to hear from God when you're doing that. Every person in this room has the ability to continue or to go on and do it again in the future, to get their undies in a bunch over something, or get, as Dad Stan would say it, tail over the dash. And, hello? We need to be reminded daily that it's not about us, it's about God. It's what God wants. And we're not always right. It doesn't mean we're always wrong either. But the point is, what matters is asking God, God, what is your opinion in everything I do, in every step I take, every day of my life? Amen? And that's so, so important that we acknowledge him. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. You know? I got to tell you something. God has good thoughts and good plans for us, but you can't get there from a place of emotions running wild, harboring animosities or harboring ill feelings or hurt feelings or whatever. That's nonsense. That's selfish. I'm sorry. It just is selfish. And that's not who we are. Better not be who we are, or we're in trouble. We're not going to touch the world with those kind of attitudes in our hearts. We're not going to do it because we're too focused on self. And that's a lesson we all need to learn. Yes, ma'am.
There was a man named Mike Warnke who had a ministry at one time.
I know the name well.
And I always remember one thing he said, that if you're busy doing the do's in the Bible,
Amen.
You don't have time to worry about doing the don'ts.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And you know, we need to share with each other
Amen.
As often as we can. Even courtesies like mm-hmm. opening doors, saying hello, just total strangers you can be courteous to.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows the love of God.
Amen. Amen.
There is no excuse for any of us not doing something for God on a daily basis.
Amen. Amen. And it can be the most minute thing. It doesn't have to be spectacular or, what's the word? I guess that's probably the best word, spectacular.
Don't need glory balls rolling.
There you go. Exactly, Bob. Exactly, Bob.
Well, I got another short testimony.
Yes, sir.
Richard was in the Ark store the other day and ran across a refrigerator that was on sale
Amen.
For a price. So that,
Amen.
You know, even $100 for that refrigerator wouldn't be too bad, but we actually got it for 50 plus tax.
Amen. It looks
really
good,
good,
seems
deal.
To run good.
And it has a money can holder right in the door.
I saw that. That's where Kylie deposited our money for our water
yes,
tonight, huh?
No, it's extra for the money pot holder, yeah.
And I want to also testify about how God can use our mistakes sometimes, too, because I was on the way to pick up a refrigerator that was on the Tuesday, and I just, I had it in my mind where the store was, and I didn't even bother to look at the receipt or the address or anything. So I went out there, and I ended up at the wrong store. So in the process of taking extra time to get there, I drive by down Colfax, and Richard gives me a call and says, my phone's not working, can you pick me up? And so I'm right there by his house, and I just turn over and go to his place. So God used my mistake for good, you know, to actually get Richard to make sure he was here on Tuesday.
You see, you know, sometimes we get ourselves all befuddled. And I would submit to you, was that a mistake or was that the plan of God?
Who knows?
Is he in control?
Yes,
is he in control?
He directs our path.
That's exactly right. A righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Let's meditate on that for a few minutes. They're ordered by the Lord. A righteous man, what does that mean? We all know that. We don't have to sit here and have a whole sermon about that. That means somebody whose life is consecrated and committed to God no matter what. No matter what. And so if that's the case, then God's ordering our steps all the time. We're committed to Him, we're committed to His Word, and we're committed to doing what He says to do, just like we quote and we say on Sunday mornings. Amen? So, you know, sometimes we get really surprised at the way God moves and kind of stand back, doesn't make any difference how much we've seen, and say, did you see that? And yet this should be the normal part of our life. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Amen. It should be just normal. Like I say, one of the places when I gotta say this again. One of the places we get messed up is we get so busy looking for the spectacular that we miss the supernatural. It doesn't have to be a major demonstration or, you know, real demonstrative to be supernatural. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's good. And there's not one of us that He doesn't have a plan for. But like the song says, he's standing there waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. He's just waiting for us to get on the same page with Him. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. His angels are there. His presence is there. And it's just a matter of waiting. And if we make a mistake, now what? So what? Father, I'm sorry I made a mistake. I want to do better next time. Please help me. And go on and watch God step on the scene. By doing that, you open the door for Him to be able to step on the scene and make things what they need to be. Amen? Sometimes we do things out of reaction or out of, like I say, emotions. And that's not the end of the story. And if either the accuser or somebody comes along and tries to share with you something, you don't have to get down in the and wallow in the mud thinking, oh, well, you know what I'm talking about, the negative thoughts and just, you know, feeling sorry for yourself and stuff. You get up and say, you know what, so I made a mistake. This isn't the end of the story. It's time to get up and move on. Amen? You may fall 7 times, but you rise up again. That's what the Bible says a righteous man does. Amen? So, and since I don't know of anybody in this room that's perfect in the way we consider perfect, other than the Spirit of God and the Lord, what we need to do is trust Him. Because He's the one who is perfecting us, is He not? Praise the Lord. Sorrow and weeping is only for the night. Joy comes in the morning. And since he never leaves us nor forsakes us, he never fails, he never sleeps, he never slumbers, then we can anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. Where we get in trouble is when we start messing around with things or start getting our nose out of joint about something or start fussing about things that are really not important, you know? And that drags our attention away from where it belongs, and then we really start to get in a pickle. Fran's smiling. She understands what I'm talking about here. She knows. She's been down that road just like me. Just like me.
At one time, God gave me the scripture, "Stop your grumbling," and he told me to make it on a big 8x10 sheet of paper and hang it on my front door,
mm-hmm.
because my mouth was overloaded and everything else was going on.
Yeah.
So.
It's easy to do, you know.
Well, I've done a lot of grumbling lately. And so this morning, I had a little bit of time. I worked, but there was a technology problem in the video feed, so I was waiting for the hearing to start. And I was just like thinking, oh man, if I'd brought this from home and this from home, I could have been doing this and this and this while I was sitting here for these 2 hours, you know. And God kind of said the same thing to me. Look, just sit down and relax here with me. Be quiet. And so that's when I pulled out my Bible, and because I had taken that with me to do my, you know, prescribed reading for the day, because that was on my list of things to do. And when I was able to just quiet myself and listen to what he had to say, and it was like he just kept, and then he said, you know, I said, but God, I've got so many things on my list and so many, my mind is just racing with all these things I need to be doing. And he said, just give them to me. And you know, I was reminded of the scripture that says my burden is easy and my yoke is light, or the other way around, whichever. You know, I have a friend, and in her version of the Bible, of that verse, easy and light are capitalized, like they're a name. And in fact, her version says, my burden is called easy, and my yoke is called light, is named light. And I thought about that, I thought, you know, my burden is heavy, and my yoke is ponderous. And you know, I just started thinking on that, and then it was like God said, but his are called easy, they have names. And I'd rather have his than have mine. So I just had to give it all over to him. Because don't we all get grumbling at each other? We get grumbling
That's
at each other.
That's why we keep coming here, so we'll stop doing that someday.
This is the cool thing that we can do with a burden. You know, when God when God gave me a burden, he changed the name.
That's right. That's right. Because that was my maiden name.
That was your maiden name.
Let's look at this a little differently here. This is on the same path, but think about it. When you got that kind of thing going on, you know, he says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What else does he tell you? When you got something heavy on you or that's bugging you, what does he say? Cast your care on him, because he cares for you.
And you know, the other thing he reminded me was, you know, just as Jesus said to Peter, I think it was, not 7 times that you forgive somebody, but 70 times 7. In other words, as often as it takes. And you know, that's what the Lord said to me today, because I said, but God, I argue with God all the time, but God, and he says, give it to me. Minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour, if that's what it takes. And so I found myself, that's what I was forced to do. And man, today went so much better than yesterday and the day and the last few weeks have gone, because I said yesterday, I was standing at the kitchen sink washing dishes, and I said, Lord, I would like to be able to just take a vacation from everybody and everything, like whisk me away, Calgon. And he's sure. And then you'd spend 2 weeks getting ready for it, and 2 weeks catching up when you came home, and what good would it do you? That's not the rest you need. And you know, we all get stressed out. We get stressed out over chords and not hitting the right key and not having the right tempo and it not being what we want it to be or expect it to be. And yet, give it to God. And if there's something wrong, God will deal with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Well, one of the things when you consider your ways is you're not, when you come to that point, I was sharing with somebody just tonight even. I said, you know, there was a time in my life when God dealt with me very specifically. I was the world's worst. You point your finger at me with an accusation, and honey, I'm going to bite your finger off. And God dealt with me years ago about this, consider your ways. And I'd like to believe that I've overcome that. And for the most part, with His help, I have. I'm not saying that I don't still have the reaction in my mind or my heart, but I don't react. Consider your ways. Father, what did David pray? He said, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways, and see if there's any wicked way in me. First thing we want to do when somebody comes and says something to us, we want to internalize it and get the hackles on the back of our neck up, and we want to, you know, come out like a mad raging bull.
Reaction.
And usually that's because it's too close to true.
Yeah, well, too often we end up defending ourselves.
I mean, God, you don't have to defend yourself. Yeah. We have an advocate, and it's not you. It's not me. We have an advocate. His name is Jesus. He's a righteous advocate. He didn't come from the Bar Association of Colorado or the United States. He's not playing by precedence of law or statutory law. He's playing by the law. The law. Amen.
He's a Democrat or Republican. I don't know how you choose.
How could you tell the difference?
Anyway. And you see, the thing is, there, you know, that brings great freedom. And can I tell you something? When Donna mentioned the scripture about, you know, about forgiving 70 times, 7 times. Do you realize that we run to God, that you and I run to God almost daily? More than just a few times. And say, God, you know what? I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Do you know that as long as that is going on, you are still in right standing with Him? Do you hear me? Why would God say that if He wasn't willing? Is His mercy and His grace, is He long-suffering? Are they fresh and new every day? Now, forgive me if I'm wrong or straighten me out here, but if His mercies and His joy, I mean His grace and His salvation is new every day, then that means yesterday doesn't count.
That's right.
It's a new day.
That's right.
So yesterday is gone. The pressures, the things the enemy tries to throw in our face, it's gone. My Bible says, and your Bible says, if you look it up, it says a man who sets his eye hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. There's nothing back there, folks. There's nothing back there. Now, Bill, how can you say that? Because He said when you come and you repent, He buries, and when you're born again, He buries your sin in the deepest sea, and He removes it from you so far as the east is from the west. And the Bible says He remembers it no more. Except.
It's all gone. Except.
Y'all didn't straighten me out there. You must think that's what it says. There's no exception to the rule.
Even when you remind Him of it, He says, I forgot.
What sin are you talking about, the song says?
Have you heard this song, Bill? It's an old one. It's a new day in glory, a new day in glory, it's a new day in glory, my life.
I can't say that I have.
Okay.
Sounds like a good one, though.
Amen.
But it's the truth. And it's so easy for us to get befuddled with the things of the day and everything, you know, with the, you know, you messed up on the job or you reacted the wrong way. And all of a sudden, hey, look, honey, you don't need somebody to crucify. You're going to crucify yourself if you're anything like me. Now, don't you guys look at me in that tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. I'm harder on me than I am anybody. Because I realize I need a good swift kick in the rear several times a day. And I'm thank God that He's man enough to do it. Amen? It all plays into the fact that God has good thoughts for us. And He has plans for us, folks. And if God has those plans, do you think He's not going to do His utmost to see those come to fruition? Listen, we all know that if God was counting the times we mess up and the times we get, you know, into ourselves and start, you know, blubbering and down in the mully grubs, He'd have been gone a long time ago and we'd still be without hope. He didn't come for perfect people. He came into a world that needed Him. And in through that, in and through that, he makes you perfect from the inside out. That sounds like grace and mercy to me.
Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
You know, we see this all the time. Isaiah 9:6, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We walk into Mardell's, and it's hanging on plaques, it's hanging on tapestries. Half of the churches in the country have that passage hanging on their wall somewhere. But we never receive it. We never eternalize it.
We don't think we're good enough.
Well, we look at that and we say, oh, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful passage. But according to the terms of my contract that I have with the God of the Bible, with the Creator of heaven and earth, He's telling me, according to this document, that He is my Wonderful Counselor. He is my Mighty God. He is my Everlasting Father. He is my Prince of Peace.
Yes.
And if we will confess that once a day, it will definitely change your attitude in a hurry.
Amen. Amen. Well, how many know that you believe you more than you believe anybody else?
That's right.
That's why the Bible says, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made. That's not just a statement so you can get somebody one to the Lord. That's a statement that you should be walking in every day.
And verse 7 of that tells you what will happen if you do that. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. From the government, when he's talking about when God's talking about the government here, he's not talking about the United States government.
Exactly.
He's talking about God's government, God's way of doing things.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someday, bless all of our darling hearts and mixed up minds, we're going to understand that God's not out to get us. I'm sorry, let me say that again. God is out to get us, but not the way we think He is.
Not
exactly. He's not standing there with a big bat or a big whip and, you know. Amen?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. He's my helper. My shadow. Anyway, praise God. God's good all the time. Amen?
Too bad she doesn't love you very much or anything.
I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. My snickle fritz.
You're
going
to have to get your steps to it.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged tonight? Did that help anybody?
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, 99% of what we do in every part of our life is attitude and perspective. It's optimistic or pessimistic. And if it's optimistic, then you're always looking at the right side, the full, the half full side, not that it's half empty. Oh, woe is me. And we don't need somebody to raise a hand or anything like that. We just need to understand that we've got some more road to cover. Amen? But that's why we come here. That's why we trust Him. That's why we're in the Word. That's why we're praying. Why we're in fellowship with the Lord and with one another. To keep us on that right track. Keep our focus and our perspective right. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sometimes we think we're going through things all by ourselves. Nobody else is going through that but you.
And that nobody else has ever been there before.
Yeah.
And that nobody else cares what you're going through.
And that nobody else cares.
Well, we kind of go to God with that, don't we?
Sometimes we do. Sometimes we refuse to go to God with it.
Yeah.
And we just think, well, we'll just ride it out and see what happens. But
I got to tell you, it seems like within the past couple of weeks, God has really, really impressed on me. More than ever in my past, and let me tell you, this is one of the poems that I love. One of the little plaques that I love is the Footprints in the Sand. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say our perspective is all goofed up, and it takes the Word and the presence of God and relationship with Him to change our perspective. Only He can do it. My mom used to say, when I was little, convince a man against his will, he's of the same opinion still. It takes the Spirit and the anointing of God to break the yoke of bondage, to put you in a place where your eyes can be illuminated and enlightened so that you can see what's really going on. So that you're not fussing, God, why did you leave me? And God was saying, my dear, precious child, that was the time I carried you. Because don't you come out better on the other end?
Have you one time not come out better on the other end, even when it looked like, honey, this is it? Well, now y'all didn't shout me down, so there must be some element of truth to that. Not one time. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All hearts clear? Are we good? Praise God. Well, Father, we do come in agreement with your word, your plan, and your thoughts. I'm going to extend it, Lord, every person who's within this house, Lord, whether they're present tonight or not, that you've brought into this place, Lord, we pray for those people. And we send your word right now, Lord. We know your thoughts. We know your plan. And we know the plan, Father, that you appropriated through Jesus, that he bore the bruises and the stripes and shed blood for our healing. So now, Lord, we thank you, Lord, as we send your word to Janelle, to Richard, to Bill, to all who afflicted Deborah, Lord, by the enemy. This cannot stand. It's not your plan. It's not your purpose. It's not part of their inheritance. This is not anything that they should be associated with or that should be operating in their life. So we curse it in Jesus' name. And we thank you as we come into agreement with your plan, your will, Lord, which is for us to be healed, or Jesus wouldn't have taken the stripes. We thank you now. And we tell these infirmities, these afflictions, to return to the one that sent them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the manifestation. And now we purpose in our hearts not to speak anything but faith and trust in you, Lord. And we say in Jesus' name, by faith, it's done, it's finished. And we thank you for the manifestation. We thank you for the manifestation even now. Even though we may not see it this moment. And if you choose to do it supernaturally, Lord, praise the Lord, we thank you for that too. But we have what we ask because that's what your word says. And you can't lie. So we thank you in Jesus' name that it's done. And we ask it and we say it's done, not for our selfish purposes, but for your honor and your glory, to get glory to you, Lord, and to build your kingdom in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask that you just bless these people, redeem the time, give them safe journeys home, Lord, as the angels watch over them. Just like Lynn, Lord, that day that you stood there before him and revealed yourself to him and stopped that truck from killing everybody. We thank you, Lord, that you are there and you have good thoughts and plans, and nothing shall by any means hurt us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, absolutely.
Janelle, would you come up here?
Call for the elders of the church.
By the altar.
Everyone wants to come up here.
Well, I'm still a youngster.
What, did I say oldster?
No, you said elders.
I said elders. And Bob, you and Fran are definitely ones.
What, youngsters?
Yes. Lord, we're here and standing here in your presence. And we lift up your name. And we anoint her and we lay hands on her.
Yes.
And we ask for her healing because of the promises, because of your word and what you said to us, that by the stripes of your son, by Jesus' stripes, that we are healed. And that her healing needs to come from inside, from our kidneys, from our kidneys, Lord. And so we send up a fervent prayer. I pray with all my heart and all my soul. And right this minute, more than anything else, I want you to know that you're healed. And that's what I ask for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Yes, Lord, for the kingdom, for your glory.
Yes.
Lord, I believe you've got a big job for this woman to do. And she's going to need every ounce of strength and health that you can provide for her. Lord, you have a long life for her.
Yes.
And we just claim right now, Lord, that as you work in her and through her, that her body will come into alignment with your word, with your promise for us. Lord, we know that her name is written in your book of life.
Yes.
And engraved on.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is engraved on your hands. And we thank you for that, Lord. Nothing can steal that. And we'll not allow any diagnosis or any labels that we would put on it that, no, this woman is healed. She walks in health and has been since before even she was born. And Lord, this is all part of your plan. Your script, your word says that, you know, that my man was born blind for the glory of God. And so we thank you for that, Lord, that she will be healed for your glory, not for hers, not for a show, but because of the work you have for her. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for those new kittens.
Amen.
Amen.
Let it be a testimony, Lord, of your presence, your power.
Yes. All of you. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. I know that you show it to us every day. You heal us every day in one way or another, even though we're not aware of it. We don't stop to thank you sometimes. But we know that your healing is everlasting. And we experience it from day to day. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to just share that when my kidneys failed in 05, I was in a hospital room. I lost a lot of blood, and the doctor told me that I'd lost about 50% of my blood volume, and if I hadn't come into the hospital, I would have died. And so while I was waiting for another doctor, actually that was a few days later, but while I was waiting for the first doctor to come in and look at me and stuff, I was in one of those triage rooms. And I can tell every single one of you that the presence of Jesus was so strong in that room. The only thing I failed, I didn't see him, but it was very, very strong. And he was so excited. I never felt him like that before. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. I'm 45 years old. I haven't done anything. Why don't you just take me home, because I'm worthless? And I didn't hear it the way we hear, you know, the way we speak to each other, but the answer was no. And he said to me, death is far, far, far from you. It was like no matter how many football fields there were, you couldn't go long enough. That's how long my life would be. So I already know I'm living a long life. And I said, why are you so excited? And it was like he was saying, I'm so excited about the stuff I'm going to do for you. I have no idea what all those things are, but while I was in that triage room, he already gave me some of the 411. So there's no doctor. I won't allow any doctor to come to me. I'll tell him, you better be careful, because if you talk whack to me, I will give you the two scriptures I think I know. Don't do it. And they don't. They don't.
The word says, with long life will I satisfy thee.
Yes.
And if you're not satisfied, then he's saying, keep on.
Yeah.
Keep on trucking.
Yeah.
That's the exact scripture the Spirit just spoke in my heart.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So I have no fear. I know I'll be here doing something. Thank you all.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Redeem the time. Bless your people. And now we dismiss in you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.